I could. With very little, gosh, I would get maybe 25 cents an hour or something. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very little. And of course, at that time, it was a lot.
Yeah.
I couldn't keep all of the money, whatever.
You couldn't keep it all?
No, I was giving to my father, and I was giving a little something from him. Well,
you didn't get an allowance, nothing.
So when I was, no allowance.
Mm-hmm. And you couldn't even keep what you earned?
No. So that's the reason that I grew up with a little bitterness, I think, but never, a little hostility towards the parents, but not hating them. It's just, a kind of, you want to rebel, but you can't. You have to live with them, There was, I couldn't move away. It was unheard of at that time. And that was little, too, so I mean, be lost in a horrible world out there.
What made you go to work if you didn't like it?
Well, first of all, my group was the one who started working with her, and she helped me later on. Marguerite moved, started working in town. Sold, just everything, like men's and women's clothes in Long Beach. And then she found me a job. And then about 2 years later, I started working at the same place, and I just, much to my father's disapproval, because he didn't want me to, he felt that I shouldn't leave, and he felt that he was losing it. Mm-hmm. You know, we were venturing out on our own.
He was.
And we were just, it's just like little baby chicks, leaving the nest. And
How old were you?
When I started with him, I was after I graduated. I was about 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I waited.
And what kind of a place was this that Marguerite worked at?
Well, it was like a department store. Well, a department store.
Selling.
Mm-hmm. And it was like a sales clerk.
Yeah.
And then I also worked with her.
So, but from 9 until 19, you worked as a helper in the kitchen at the ranch for a fat 25 cents an hour, which you didn't get the key for.
No. And then, of course, when I started working in town, that was, my gracious. I remember my first skirt that I got, I paid $17 for it, and that was a fortune at that time. $17?
Were you allowed to keep all your town earnings?
No, again, it wasn't. No. I know. We couldn't. I don't remember how it was, but it was just that we were not, my father would just give us so much money.
How long did that go on? How old were you when you were allowed to keep all your earnings?
Well, I think that when I just moved out into,
1960?
Yeah. Well, I used to give my father money. Mm-hmm. And even then, can you believe it? Even then, I left the house with good blessings. With my parents' blessings. I did not just move out and say goodbye and good riddance. I was done in a very I had thought about it quite a long time. And when I moved out, I felt I felt guilty. Well, when I used to go home to my father to feed him on the weekends, and I would even then write, I threw away some, because I had saved a lot of my little checks, because I opened a checking account, and writing him $30, just like almost, every time I used to go home, I felt guilty. And they really didn't need it then by that time. By that time they were...
But he'd take it, wouldn't he?
Oh, certainly.
Uh-huh. How did you, speaking of bitterness, how did you feel about the Bixby's?
The Bixby's, I adored. I really adored him. I really did. I there were times when he would just, when he used to see me come in to this, sometimes I'd take him a glass of sherry in the evenings. I mean, he's just such a good person. Mm-hmm. Yet, your grandma was like a little queen. Mm-hmm. And I think that I was a little bitter towards her because she was always, she never had enough time to, I mean, she was, I was not treated like Mr. Dixon. I mean, he was very cute. In fact, he would show off when I'd walk in, and he would always be like a show-off. He would belittle your grandmother, and it was very upsetting to her. He tossed maybe a roll to her across the table, and she was just about, oh. Yeah. Don't tell anybody this.
No. Oh, no. But she was, you did not feel as close to her.
No, I didn't.
No. Would she, get your mother?
That would be like a different feeling completely.
How did, how, in what way?
Well, warmer. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be just a completely different, you could feel it. Mm-hmm. You could feel it. And then, of course, the Grange family. They were adorable. We loved that family.
Yeah.
We really did. All the kids will tell you. Because Johnny and Daddy would come to the house, and they would, my mother would be making tortillas, and they would think nothing of asking my mother for a tortilla. My mother would butter it for them, roll it up for him, and they would eat.
This is Jeff Green, little bit.
This is Jeffy. Mm-hmm. Little Jeffy, huh?
Jeffy and Bob and Bob. Dee Dee.
Mm-hmm.
And Judy. Would you ever play with the kids, or would they just come out here?
Well, see, they were smaller, younger than I.
Oh, that's right.
So there was no, later on, towards the end of when I worked at the ranch, Debbie would come and talk to me. Mm-hmm. But it was, just to say what she was going to do for the evening, they were going to go out to eat or whatever.
And getting back to my grandmother, I myself, eating at that table, always was terribly aware of doing the correct thing. As if she were the authority on just the right manners. And I remember all those many forks and many spoons and being afraid I'd use the wrong one. And wanting very much to get her approval. Did she attempt to train you in how to serve, like the left and the right and the taking off from, the, I don't even know, taking off from the right and serving from the left?
She didn't teach me. She didn't teach me how. It was Mary and Ida. They before anybody would arrive,
well,
they would teach me how. They had taught me how.
Would she give you orders? Would she, how would she?
No, she rarely would enter into any disciplining me or showing me, no.
Or instructing
no,
you?
No, instructing, no.
What then created that feeling of distance or coolness that she didn't treat you?
Well, because there were no reason for saying, I can understand that if there was company present and it was a table, I would say fine, you know, if you had to. But then if they were alone, I would say that there was no reason for her not to say, well, how are you today? Mm-hmm. You know, how are things? how is the life treating you or something, you know? Okay, or even when I would take them, like I said, I took your grandfather and grandmother, she took sherry, I think, and he took port, or vice versa, one of them. And, I mean, he would, like I said, he would always be very pleasant and always would stop to acknowledge my presence.
Mm.
Yet she would never do that.
Mm.
I mean, she would just like a little robot for him.
Yeah.
And just,
mm-hmm. Catalina, I really appreciate that. I know how hard it is to remember all these things, and but this is just the kind of stuff that I really want, and I appreciate you doing it.
Oh,
really do.
My pleasure. It's like reliving my whole life all over again. There's some very things that you kind of want to remember.
Yeah. If we don't get everything done this time, I'd like to.
You're welcome to visit.
Because when I listen to this, there may be some areas I will want to explore in more depth with you. I wanted to ask about, well, just to finish up with this feeling of the have-nots versus the haves. That's the only way I can put it. Is there anything else that you can tell me that feelings of sadness or wishing you had that or envy or anger or whatever?
Well, I don't think that's one thing too, but I think that I can always remember another thing, it was similar to grass is not always greener on the other side, you know, you
right.
always think that it is, but she always kind of presses it, you know, we should be thankful for what we have, yeah. And their prayers were like that, you know, just be thankful that you have your two feet, your two arms, and your two eyes to see,
You mentioned prayers before. You were going to say something more?
No, I was going to say that it was kind of funny that you would mention that you were very, I can't imagine that you would ever be very nervous being there with your own grandmother and being careful that you were using the right fork. Because, I was, when my parents, we seldom went out to eat, but when we did go out to a restaurant, I was always ashamed of my father's eating, and I never knew how chic he was, He used to eat with his fork, you know how we're supposed to transfer a fork. Well, this is continental style. My dad used to do the continental style long time before. Chris, now when he goes out and he eats that way, you know, like chic, you
That's
know.
That's right. That's right.
Do your own stuff. It's really chic.
Funny how dad looks at other people.
There's another area that I didn't bring up, but being in school, being bused in deprived me of a lot of, being bused in
mm-hmm.
deprived me of a lot of activities, a lot of social things that I could have gotten, you know. I always had to be there for on the bus, when the bus, you know, to catch the bus, so I never had any after school activities for the kids, and therefore I think I missed out on a little social event. But that was all. I can't.
Is that all true?
I don't have no bitter. Now that I sit here, I have no bitter feelings against anyone.
No,
I mean I just don't. I'm not that type of person. I don't hold a grudge.
No,
and I don't see any reason to. I don't really. So you know, you grew up in
the but you lived. You were a farm ranch child.
Sure.
And you and I had both experienced a certain amount of isolation.
I probably had better. My conditions were probably better than a lot of people, even now, modern time. I mean, living in some little ranch place in Idaho and wherever.
Nevertheless, there are certain sadnesses in everybody's life.
Sure.
Particularly in high school, when it got around to meeting boys and everything, did you feel that you, living at the ranch and being bused back and forth, made you suffer in that department?
Because that's when you met people during school time, fine. But it was afterwards, yeah. When you could go to the dances, when you could go to the shows, we couldn't go out to the shows, that you, and, you know, you played baseball with the fellows, you played a jump rope with the guys after school, you know, the teachers weren't there to watch you if you wanted to hold hands with a guy or something, you know, and it was, that's when you get a little more friendly, it was when everything's a little bit,
loosened. You think that has something to do with your not being married?
Oh, it's definitely.
Like how?
Being, you've heard the Saturday night show, The Lonely. I can, my Saturdays are so blue. Oh, don't you? You look at me. Maybe it wasn't meant for me. I love children. Mm-hmm. I really do. I love my nieces and my nephews, and I just adore those children.
But you mean the boys wouldn't ask you out? They wouldn't date you?
No, because it was too distant, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like the kids that, say my sister, the youngest one, she married somebody because they used to come to the ranch to see the boys.
Mm-hmm.
She married, you know, for like, you know, acquaintances, you know, because of the boys.
Tony mentioned a place called the Majestic down on the Pike.
We went.
Mm-hmm. Would you go there?
Yes, we went there. But again, if my mother said, it's too foggy out, mm-hmm. and you're not going out, we didn't go out.
But would you go with a boy?
No, we went with my brother. We were always chaperoned. They didn't always stay with us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. But you never had men come to the house?
No.
Dates, I mean boys, come to the house and pick you up?
No, not until very, I went with a fellow, I must have been about 25 years old.
Mm. And you're still living at home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about, how did you get to know the facts of life? Did your mother tell you, or did you read about it? Or?
No, but, that's terrible, but Dad wanted to tell you about that. There's a couple of people that just, this place is so, too close together.
Oh, that's all it was. I just thought it might have been a body. It sounded
that's the bad part of it. Some people aren't very, very considerate about other people as well. You know. So when I sleep where we're at, I don't hear any noise. But you were mentioning again.
Well, let me trace my train of thought here. About the facts of life. How did you find out about the facts of, like, your period, like menstruation, like, how did you find out about that?
Well, my mother actually did not tell us a single thing. I found out just from my older sister. They were the ones that told me.
Hmm.
And they had told me, and I just didn't know what they were talking about until I got sick one day in school. And I thought I was dying, and that was, my mother would never. I would never go to my mother and discuss any intimate, feelings, anything like that. It was, a daughter-mother relationship, but very cool. It was a coolness, very cool. And it wasn't until, like, maybe later on when we really started getting a little bit closer.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved away, it seemed like even when I would go home, it would be just wonderful. I could hardly wait to see them. And then when I was driving home, when I lived in Westwood, when I was driving home on the freeway, my goodness, I'd be crying. I'd be crying. Because I never, one thing about when I was
crying to leave them.
Because I was coming home to my place in Westwood, leaving them after bed, being with them on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It was such beautiful times, and you know, you never know what would happen over those evenings. You could die, or I could get killed on the freeway, which I almost did, and things like that. But, you know, but we were so disciplined, though, that I can remember crying. It was, you know, like...
You cannot remember crying?
You know, like stomping and saying, oh, I want this, and crying. And my mother, when, you know, she says, you stop this.
Mm-hmm.
And if we cried, it was, you know, so we were sick, you know, she'd be very tender, and she would see that, oh, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that.
You lived, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right. And now, when did you move there? Do you remember the year?
Oh, no. My dad could tell you all that.
How old were you when you moved?
Oh, like, I must have been about 17 years old.
And you called, that's the call, the top house?
Yes, we lived out in the middle, right in one of these houses down here.
Well, Tony told me that these houses were arranged in a U.
Well, no, down below.
Down below.
Where that palm tree is, down below.
Oh, yes.
That's where they were.
All right.
And
so
then
these
lived down below.
All right. So these were like going up the hill.
Uh-huh.
And you lived there
uh-huh.
until 1960.
Uh-huh. Yeah, until I moved out.
And then you moved out, and did your father and mother continue to live in that house then?
Sure.
Until when?
Until 1968 or so. It was amazing. Yeah.
19?
This was even after, because they had already moved out when they were done.
And why did they move out?
Because they were interested in all these homes were being demolished, and they for the subdivisions and those beautiful homes that are up there. And are they?
Well, no one. Like
this is where I remember the barbecue. This whole we used to have that whole yard there.
Ira actually come to a barbecue in that
sure,
yard.
Sure, he brought his son there.
Thank you, Lyra.
Captain and I went to Wilson High different times together.
Hey. I'm calling her Catalina, by the way.
Oh, well, he does, too. He calls me that. He says.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so that... Now, this fireplace...
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me about this house.
You went in... of course, the first room that you entered was the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Big living room with the beautiful. Well, I enjoyed it. It was such an old fireplace, but it was gorgeous. I mean, you know, to us it was like luxury. And we had all the fireworks we wanted. And then next to it was you would go out of the there'd be like a little hall from the living room. Then you would have the a bedroom,
mm-hmm.
and then you would have the bathroom, right? Next to the living room, you go down the hall a little bit further, and you would come across the kitchen. And opposite the kitchen would be another bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would still go further down past the kitchen. You would find the dining room beside the kitchen, and then way in the back another bedroom for the boys' bedroom. It was a pretty big house.
I'd say so. And then all this was your yard. And that's where you had your chickens
happiness.
And... Oh, yeah. Yes,
it's really nice.
Sure.
It's really enjoyable.
Oh, I've loved it.
She hasn't interviewed my father. I can just go, oh, God. That's going to be something.
See, this...
Do you speak funny?
No, but I want to learn it. I'm hoping that Salvador will interpret for me.
Have you talked to him yet?
I've talked to him on the phone, but I want to call him.
He's so busy. He's in with into skiing, a handball.
Well, but he gets off. He has Wednesdays off.
Yes,
he told me.
Yes.
I already told him I want to interview him, and he just seemed to feel that he could do that, and he wanted to do it. But I'm hoping he's going to, and your father doesn't speak that all much English. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that Salvador is going to.
And I told you he's a little deaf. So
yeah. And that I'm hoping that Salvador, after I interview him, will be willing to act as interpreter.
Oh, certainly. Oh, he'll do anything for my father. He'll do anything for you, too. He loves you.
Yeah, sure.
Now, this is Bert Bell. Do you remember Bert
mm-hmm.
Bell?
Mm-hmm.
Standing outside the office.
The office, I know.
And that's. Let's see. This is one of the big sales that they used to have. This is that's the Seal Beach oil field. What made you like Sister and Deborah and my mother?
I told you they acknowledge the presence of one, like your grandmother. I was telling her.
She told me something that was very interesting about her being nervous at when we were eating. She said she was always afraid of picking up the wrong fork.
I don't remember Joni.
Really don't.
Tony remembers me, but see, she's older than you are, Tony.
Oh, yes. And my sister Cora might remember you, too.
Yeah. Tony remembers watching me play in the yard and standing on the fence and watching these little girls with huge bows in their hair play. And she had some very interesting thoughts about that. Very interesting.
You live nearby?
No. Oh, here. Now? Yes, I live 5 minutes away. I live in North Hollywood.
Most
convenient to make here. Yeah. I feel this is a gold mine right in my backyard.
She was mentioning that she came down how she thought it was the apartment.
Well, he would let them come in and play, but would they come in and play around in the barn
sure.
and stuff?
Sure. It was our own ranch.
Yeah, so you would feel free about coming in and because
not in the house, you know. That was
no, but I mean like messing around the barns and picking up stuff and
well, we never the kids would never do anything, you know. My father was
watching and
my father would always supervise. I mean, he would never they would never do anything to you know, write their names or something. It was ours, you know. So we had the run of the ranch. We had the gardens. I mean, that was to us was a. Oh, whenever we had relatives from that used to come, we'd show them the ranch. The cactus thing.
That's spectacular! My God. But you were allowed to go through everything anywhere you wanted to go.
Sure. Any place. My father had keys to all the buildings, and he would. You know, he would go out there and weigh my mother in on one of those big scales.
And weigh your mother
on the livestock scale.
What was your mother's name?
Asuncion.
Now, who's this? Catalina, who's old?
That's my brother Ramon.
Ramon and his wife?
And his little baby. Look at Salvador. One time he was taking a violin lesson.
Oh, he's hysterical.
I have about five little
You know, there's something about Salvador that is funny. I mean, he's just adorable. And he's a character.
He's, right now he's the main person there. My dad, you know, he takes care of my father. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't... Nobody can hurt. You know, try to get away with things. I mean, Bella's always there to protect money. You know, he handles all the money situations.
Salvador's smart with money.
He handles everything. Because if any of us need a little bit of... I have never looked to the family for any help, you know, financial
help. They
took
your money.
No, well, anyway, that's a different story. But, I mean, you know, like Joe at one time needed a little extra money to, instead of going to finance company, getting a little money to, say, roof his house, he'd look to Dad and Sal would write the check out, and then my father would sign it. You know, but they can't go to my father and just say, Dad, I need $5,000, because my father, he has managed to, you know, to save and to... Mm-hmm. And luckily, it's himself, because my father would probably give him a shirt off his back as anybody that would ask.
You mean on the salary that your dad was paid, he managed to save money?
Well, he was given a
severance.
A severance.
Mm-hmm.
When he left, when he was in, you know, when that big ceremony was, he was given some money. And my father is not he doesn't go out to discotheques and waste his money on women and all, you know. So
he did that before.
Oh, he did.
I'm sure. I mean, I was little. I don't know about things like that. But I'm sure he must have, you know. And,
you mean he cheated on your mother?
Oh, I don't think. I just hope not.
Oh, well.
I don't want to know about it.
All right. I'm sorry, Kathleen.
Forget
I said that.
That's all right. I'm sure that, you know.
But I mean, I was wondering.
He's human.
Did that. I mean, after she died, you're talking about that he... That when you said he did that before, he did the disco and the...
No, I said he doesn't.
Oh, he doesn't?
I said he doesn't.
Oh.
I said that my father's day, because he asked me to, you know, he had his little money.
Yeah.
He got a little money out of it, and the money just went into the bank, and I said he doesn't go discoing to spend all that money. You know, and he gets a little, you know, he's on Social Security. I don't even know yet what how much he gets. But he doesn't spend it, I'm sure. All he does is smoke and eat and enjoy his little rose garden. You haven't been down there?
No.
Oh, you're going to like it.
I'm going to go down there.